Forest Company here with you on this Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly behind the ones and twos. Forest Company is brought to you by LPL Financial, Nashville, and Patrick Conger. Earlier in the show, Nick Frazier asked the question of the day with GM Mike Borgonzi being hired by the Titans into this trash shoot of a franchise, we will call it. What advice do you have for GM Borgonzi? Now, before we give our answers, we do have some answers on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 2312 says, I would tell him to read The Art of War and to watch his back. Watch out for the beast.
Yes.
We'll say. I'll give you mine. I would tell him, as 38 Special once said in 1983, hold on loosely. Don't let go. Just be very careful.
Or you'll lose control.
If you cling too tightly, you will lose control. So just hold on loosely. Don't get too attached there, Borgonzi. I think you're going to find that your coworkers are not to be trusted, in my opinion. I don't work there. I work here. And apparently, we are only allowed to cheer for in-state teams on Tennessee radio.
Apparently.
On Tennessee. I mean, I could counter that with most people that work here are not fans of teams in-state. I'm Kentucky. Frazier's Mississippi State. Jake Lyman, who is not here today, he's off calling Vanderbilt track and field. Obviously, he works for Vanderbilt, but he's actually a Virginia Tech fan. Jared's a Louisville fan. D-Mace, Rex Road are both Michigan State fans. Willie's a Vanderbilt fan because he played there. Adam Vingan's a Duke fan. Oh, everyone.
Robbie's a Vols guy.
A Vols guy.
The state exception.
State exception. You know, nine out of 10 people that work here are not fans of teams in state. So let's get our facts straight before we say that.
First choice, better way to put it.
First choice.
Yeah.
I mean, we all kind of root for Vanderbilt because we work for them.
Yeah.
They're nice people. Allegretta's a nice guy. Kevin's a cool guy.
Friends of the show.
We've had both on, I believe.
Yeah.
I know we've had Allegretta on a couple times. He's been awesome every time. So, yeah. I mean, but that's not about this anymore.
I wonder what they have for Borgonzi. What advice they have
for
him. I don't know.
What advice do you have for Borgonzi?
Me?
Yeah.
Let's just say make sure the ball bounces your way. That's what I would tell him. Make sure the ball bounces your way.
I hope he is ready for a holiday we have in Nashville, a national holiday called Feast of the Ass.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, I forgot.
Frazier knows all about Feast of the Ass.
Yeah, that was a what day is it type thing a few days ago. I forgot about that. Yeah, there's a lot of what day is it for
Feast of the Ass.
So there's that.
Not that ass. It's
the animal.
The animal.
Yep.
That saw baby Jesus in the manger.
Yeah, you're right. You know, something that reminded me of just advice to give Borgonzi. Probably another thing of advice I would say is to stay clear of, I'd say, 440. That'd probably be my honest opinion. Stay clear of 440.
24. Huh? Stay away from 24, man.
Yeah.
Oof. I have to take 24 to get to Murfreesboro every day, and there's not a lot of bright people that ride that road.
There's not a lot of bright people that just drive in general across Nashville. True. So just putting that out there. Parker, you have anything for Borgonzi?
Any advice for the man? And he's going to enter the Hall of Mics, too.
He is.
It's just hard for me. Like, on paper, this is probably the best move. He was my favorite candidate. But games aren't played on the paper. They're played on the grass. So
nice. Landanning said that.
Yeah, that's right. Here's my thing. I just wish the roles were more defined on what's actually, like, is he going to be the GM or is it going to be Chad Brinker? It's hard for me to offer advice because I don't know what his role is going to be. Like, I don't know what all his job entails, if that makes sense.
You can still give him advice. You don't have to.
As far as Nashville, yeah, staying clear of I-40, I guess. I don't have much for him, honestly. But
another thing is,
honestly, he should be giving everybody here advice. He's coming from the best franchise in the NFL over the last couple of years. So,
Big Joe has told me this before, but I'm going to use it. Another thing Borgonzi needs to know is there are like 182 roads in Tennessee called Old Hickory Boulevard, and we know where none of them are. So Just be wary of that.
We have a text from our friend Indy Ben. Yeah. You ready for this? It's not advice, but he'd like to know who held Borgonzi up at gunpoint to take this job, probably the most dysfunctional organization, which is so true.
Thank you, Indy Ben. Do you cheer for a team that's in-state?
That is a great Indy question. Indy Ben? That's a great question.
He's a Colts guy.
Exactly. But, oh, my goodness. That was a good little comment there from Indy Ben. Yeah,
I'd love to hear Big Joe's advice for Borgonzi. I'm sure he's got some great tips.
Yeah, he probably does. I would say this for Borgonzi as well. Last name comes off as a little bit of Italian. I'd just say
Borgonzi.
There are a few places that are Italian foods that you can eat around the area, but steer clear of Olive Garden and so forth.
Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah,
you might be a relative of yours.
Hey,
you don't know.
Maybe
you may meet him at the Maggiano's.
Yeah, maybe.
Borgonzi sounds like a mob boss to me.
Yeah.
Like straight out of The Godfather or something.
Something like that. Like a consigliere or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's just who held him? You said he held him at gunpoint. That made me think Goodfellas.
I will say, though, too, about the whole Borgonzi hiring. I feel like it's the right choice.
I think it is the best available hire on paper. How much that role is defined, did they lie to his face and said, yeah, you're going to have full control of the roster and do whatever you want and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it is, oh,
uh-oh.
Big Joe has chimed in.
Oh, please.
To give us advice.
Please do.
Big Joe's advice is don't take the job.
Well.
That's pretty good advice.
I think that's kind of already happened. You mentioned paper earlier. We got a phone call from Kenny the Mailman.
Kenny the Mailman. What's up, Kenny? How are you?
Just a second. And now finished. Actually, I'm reading Joe Dubin's book while I'm delivering mail.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Have y'all ever read his book?
Oh, yeah, all three.
It sits right behind me.
Really, I bought it for a lot of my family for Christmas, and their favorite part is the dot-to-dot section in the back.
Oh, Kenny, what do you got for Borgonzi?
Oh, I've got three pieces of advice. First, rent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be on the way out before you could actually get your money back from your
yes.
house. And you've got to learn the two slogans of the Titans, organization, that is, the owners. One is that I want all the credit and none of the blame.
Mm-hmm.
And two is fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, strike three. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you too.
I'll give him some advice that my grandfather always gave me. You can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but don't pick your friend's nose.
Yeah, don't do that.
So don't pick Chad Brinker's nose, please.
He probably won't even let you get close to him.
Yeah, he may pick you up and give you the F5, the beast.
You don't want that.
No, you don't. Hey, we got some basketball today to get into.
Do we?
I have the helm now. You bet your ass we're talking basketball.
I'm in for it.
We'll continue the conversation. SEC Men's Hoops Talk coming up next on Forest Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. So this is a 9 to 11 a.m. show, but it's not quite Monday through Friday.
No, not at all.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
Forest Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Connor New alongside Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly behind the ones and twos. And fellas, we got some hoopsketball to play today down south.
Not basketball.
Not basketball. I did watch that the other day.
It's a great movie.
It was just on cable, or not cable, but like just on a random channel. So I was like, okay, I'll tune in. It's one of those movies you can drop in anywhere and still have zero context of what's going on.
You know, last week when I was talking about the odd sports, I was trying to find if there was a professional basketball league.
There needs to be.
There isn't one. There needs to be.
There needs to be. There's Quidditch.
There's curveball. Curbball, that is.
Curbball. There needs to be corkball.
Yes.
I've told you about corkball before.
It's great.
Corkball is great. But big-time matchups today in the SEC. Of course, the big daddy of them all. Number 4, Alabama at Rupp Arena, taking on number 8, Kentucky. Alabama coming off a tough loss at home to Chris Beard and the Ole Miss Rebels. Kentucky, of course, riding off of a win against, I am blanking on who they just beat. Texas A&M. Thank you. Yes. Top 15, Texas A&M. I will tell you, I don't feel great about this as a Cats guy. I don't feel fantastic. I think Alabama's going to come in mad. And Alabama's a team where if they're shooting the lights out and hitting their shots, they will beat you.
Are you worried about the 11 a.m. tip-off?
No, because they've had a few of those this year. I think if anyone can get them motivated to play a 11 a.m. game, 12 p.m. for their time, it's Marcus Pope. I think he's the motivator of the SEC. Maybe that's my bias speaking, but I think he is arguably the front runner for SEC Coach of the Year, if not national. But it's just, I feel like this is a tough game. Every game in the SEC is a tough game, but I feel like the way things played out this week, this means more for Alabama than it, not that it means more, but Alabama is playing to keep their name and reputation alive as a top program in this nation. Kentucky is looking to play spoiler and kind of do the same thing, continue that resume. They're 5-0 against top 15 teams this year. I think it's tough for me to say outright they're going to go in there and they're going to win. I think Alabama will definitely give them a tough stretch. I think Mark Sears has a great game, arguably the best point guard in the SEC. I don't know. It's just tough for me to say, you know, this is Kentucky's going to go in there and they're going to win.
I want to ask about Lamont Butler. I mean, the guy's been pretty solid all year for Kentucky.
Yeah.
In some cases, you could say probably one of the more important pieces to that roster.
Mm-hmm.
But, what has to work for him today? Is it more the assisting of things or actually putting up the points?
So Lamont Butler, to me, is the absolute motor of this team. If he sets the pace. Now, against Texas, he's questionable today because against Texas A&M, he was getting beat up and beat up and beat up. Like, every time he went for a shot, it was contested, and, I mean, he was taking some hard fouls. If he is in there, I feel much better about their chances because he reminds me of a Chris Paul in a way. He's a facilitator. He sets guys up. A lot of what he does is, you know, pick and roll stuff, get it down in the post to Andrew Carr or Amari Williams or even Brandon Garrison, who I think is weak. But anyways, he is the motor of this team. He is what drives it. You saw against, was it Ohio State? He was out. They lost that game because they couldn't quite find the right tempo and guys weren't spacing the floor the way they should. He's a floor general, for lack of a better term. So I think that's I think that's the key for them to win. If Lamont Butler has a good day, and Jackson Robinson too, if he's hitting his shots, and maybe even Kobe Brea, who's been a little inconsistent as of late, if they are unconscious as usual from beyond the arc, I think they can win. But that's enough with the Cats. I could spend the entire show talking about them. The other one, locally, Vanderbilt hosting the Vols, big in-state rivalry. Mark Byington has got Vandy playing some high-level ball.
You can hear that today, by the way, 2:30.
2:30.
2 o'clock.
Here on this station.
Yes.
Or you can go down there, Gymnasium. Parker Kelly will be there. Not in orange because banned. But Mark Byington, rough start to the SEC conference play for him, but he's got the doors at 14-3. Is Vanderbilt basketball back, in quotes?
To answer that, I'd say it's back in the right direction.
Yes.
It is back in the right direction. I mean, I'm buying in on Mark Byington. This guy, he's done well for this team this season. I mean, sure, the conference schedule is 2-2, but we're just getting there. We're just starting.
Yeah, we're just getting going.
You're only revving up the engine. Overall, this team has definitely shown signs of improvement. They've shown signs they're going in the right direction. I watched their game against South Carolina the other night. There were, you know, a few things.
What a finish to that one, too.
Yeah. I will say I was a little concerned at the end because they had a lead at one point and it just kind of dissipated. And then, I mean, that's basketball. You go off of momentum, but overall, I think what Byington's doing with Vanderbilt is a pretty solid job. But yep. As for them going into Memorial Gym, taking on Tennessee, you know, I kind of take a jab every once in a while at Tennessee. I mean, it's not on purpose. Well, sort of on
purpose. It is on purpose.
In a little
you
bit.
Can say
no, it's on purpose.
It's okay. Yeah. You
it's
can
a,
say.
It's a part of my laundry list, okay? I got to do it. So, but I don't know. I'm a little on the fence about Vanderbilt today. I think they have a good chance of beating Tennessee. Some people may think otherwise, but I think anytime you're in a rivalry game, you throw out any favorites in games, it's straight down the middle.
I will say Tennessee's offense has gone stagnant to start SEC play. Had a bit of a get-right game at home the other day against Georgia, beating them by 18. But we're not seeing the same Chaz Lanier we saw in non-conference. We're not seeing the same what's his name?
Igor Milicic?
No, that's not what I think.
Sakai Ziegler?
Jordan Ganey.
He had 19 last game.
Yeah. Well, he had his get-right game. But it's just a bit of a stagnant show. Or I've lost my train of thought. Big Joe just
let me help you. Chaz Lanier has struggled the last 2 weeks. But against Georgia, others picked up the slack, like Jordan Ganey, who had 19. Sakai Ziegler, who is now the all-time leading steals person in UT basketball history. He just passed Santiago Vescovi. He has 214. He was a flamethrower. He turned into a flamethrower in the second half, made four straight threes. Mm. So Zakai Ziegler picked up the slack, but Chaz Lanier certainly has to get back on track against a really good Vandy team. It's tough to shoot in Memorial Gymnasium, as other teams are well aware of, and this is a much different Vanderbilt team.
So. I wonder why. Yeah, I think Vanderbilt makes it close for the first half. Then I think Tennessee comes alive and kind of takes it. They're playing for a lot. I think they're pissed off that they lost number one. They're down to number six now. But, yeah, just the Egg Bowl in basketball.
At the hump, I believe.
At the hump. What do we think about that, Nick Frazier?
I'm nervous. I mean, as for you, you're probably nervous about your Kentucky Wildcats, but I'm nervous today. I think Mississippi State has their work cut out for them because, I mean, every team in the SEC this year is definitely, you know, sorry, my phone. Every team this year, it's just they're difficult. It's not a cakewalk. Like, you know, how you have some seasons where one team is not great, the other team is not great. No, both teams are really good this year. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a top 25 matchup, Mississippi State at 15, Ole Miss at 21. But if Mississippi State's going to want to win, they got to win the three-point game, in my opinion.
Yep.
I think they really take care of the ball inside the paint. But overall, their three-point game outside the arc has to really hit for them.
Mississippi State has more of a high-powered offense than Ole Miss does.
Yeah.
Ole Miss relies heavily on defense. Chris Beard is a good coach, but I think Mississippi State gets it done today. I think they need a get-right game after dropping one to Kentucky and then losing again to – who they lose to? Who am I blanking on?
Texas A&M?
Yes, I believe so.
Texas A&M. They are 2-2 in conference play. I think they need a get-right game, and I think Ole Miss.
They lost back-to-back games against Auburn and Kentucky.
It was Auburn. And Kentucky played
A&M. You got to admit, both those teams –
those are good teams.
Yeah.
I mean
when one of them's number one overall in the nation.
When you're playing in the SEC, I mean, there are going to be no gimmies. Every week is just going to be a battle. These teams are just going to beat up on each other.
Right.
I mean, you look at who Georgia's played even the last 2 weeks. I mean, they've beat two top-ranked teams before they lost to Tennessee, but it is just – it is a complete – it's warfare.
It's a gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, as for Mississippi State, though, looking at their schedule, I mean, they took care of majority of their out-of-conference games. They had that one loss to Butler. I remember watching that game out in Hendersonville. But this team needs to take care of business in conference play, kind of like Vanderbilt in the same situation. They're both 2-2. Obviously, the little shaky starts in conference, but we'll see. We'll see.
We will see, indeed. Speaking of gauntlets, over across the pond on the gridiron in college sports, we got two teams that have made it to the end of the gauntlet. Ohio State and Notre Dame, the 7 and the 8. Ohio State, I think, favored by 8. We will break that matchup down coming up next. The national championship this Monday. We will break it down next on Forest Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Heavy on the Beastie Boys today, are we?
Pretty heavy.
Loving it. Loving it. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Sorry, I was looking to see if I had a read, and I apparently don't. But Connor Newt, joined by Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly behind the ones and twos. And fellas, we got a big game coming up on Monday. Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman have survived the gauntlet and are playing in the national championship against the seemingly unbeatable at the time Ohio State Buckeyes, Ryan Day and company. Ryan Day finally decided, hey, we have receivers. Let's use them. Big game on Monday. Ohio State heavy favorites. I believe I read this is the lowest or the biggest underdog margin
in a national championship.
In the national national championship history and for Notre Dame since playing Ohio State 2 years ago in Notre Dame. So big matchup. What are the keys to victory for either team?
I mean, I'll start with Notre Dame because I feel like it's an easier look at them. Riley Leonard has to be throwing the football well, has to be hitting it on all cylinders, making sure his reads are proper, all the above. Kind of making sure the football's secure, if that's in the run game or if Riley Leonard's the one running outside the pocket because he likes to tend to use his legs from time to time.
Yes, he does.
I honestly think for Notre Dame's sake on defense, just make sure you're aware in the secondary. Because I think the Ohio State offense is just lethal at any point in time. As for Ohio State, run the football. Just keep running the football, in my opinion.
You got two premier backs in your backfield, and Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson.
Yeah.
Use them. On the other side, I think the run game will be ineffective for Notre Dame because the Ohio State front seven is just the big red wall.
Yeah.
Lethal. That saying, I think you're right in Riley Leonard needs to be throwing the football effectively because other than Caleb Downs, who I stand by my take, he will be a top five pick next year in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. That secondary is pretty depleted. All they do is, based on what I saw against Texas, all they can do is hold. There were quite a few holding penalty, pass interference, holding called on the secondary, and I think Notre Dame needs to take advantage of that. Even if Riley Leonard isn't completing his passes, you throw it up there and they hold you, guess what's coming out? Some yellow laundry on the field. Mm-hmm. So I think for Notre Dame, it's Riley Leonard. He's the X factor in this game. If he is playing the way he needs to play, running the football diligently, and even completing his passes, which we know he's not a premier passer, but if he's completing his passes, I think Notre Dame has a shot.
Well, I mean, remember, they're students at Notre Dame. They don't go to Notre Dame just to play football. They're smart. They're smart football players.
They're smart people.
That IQ is up there for sure. And you're right about Riley Leonard, too. Just you underthrow a football on purpose, you're going to catch some laundry. Mm. And I think that's something that Notre Dame might need to use to their advantage.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to hear an interesting stat?
Sure.
Always.
So Ohio State in the FBS is 134th in opponent penalization, which means Ohio State does not get many breaks, if at all, when it comes to penalties. Mm. And that was very evident against Texas.
Yep.
I assume both teams are going to not stray from what got them to the national championship. Notre Dame likes to play a lot of man coverage, and Ohio State, since the Michigan loss, has just been lethal with getting the balls to their aliens at wide receiver. Will Howard's been playing great. I actually think that the run game is probably the weakest area of Ohio State when it comes to offense.
Really? I would agree with you.
Because they've had to shuffle. They've had five different lineups when it comes to their offensive line because they've just been so riddled with injuries. On the flip side, Notre Dame is, I mean, they're going to be without their left tackle. They're going to be without their right guard. They're without one of their defensive tackles. They're just as injured as well. I do not see a world in which Notre Dame has many possibilities of them winning this game.
Yeah, it's definitely a matchup to look at. I think it's more one-sided for the team in scarlet and gray than it is for blue and gold. But let me ask you this.
All right.
If Ohio State goes out there, craps the bed, and loses the national championship to Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
do we put Ryan Day right back on that hot seat?
I mean, Ohio State fans will say yes.
Why?
I would say no.
They didn't win a national championship. I'm just saying from a perspective of Ohio State. I'm not an Ohio State fan, but that's probably what the temperature's like.
They're a $20 million roster.
They're short-fused.
They are.
It's a short-fused fan base.
You know, Oregon spent more on their roster than Ohio State did.
Did they?
$25 million for Oregon.
How'd that work for them?
Exactly. So, I mean, listen – Ryan Day is one of the winningest coaches in college football. And like I actually brought this up to Frazier when we were filling in for Stillman a couple weeks ago. There are only two active coaches with the national championship, Dabo Sweeney and Kirby Smart.
Mm.
One, so either Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, we're going to have a guaranteed coach this year who's never won a national championship.
Yeah.
Win one. So,
if you were to ask me right now to pick between, take the roster out of it, everything about Ohio State and Notre Dame out of it, ask me to pick who I want the coach to be of my program, Marcus Freeman or Ryan Day, I would take Marcus Freeman.
Agreed.
That guy knows the X's and O's of football. He has coached his way into wins. Look at the Penn State game. Coached his way into that win. The Georgia game was a coaching masterclass because they got him on 4th-and-1. He brings out the special teams, gets them to jump, moves the ball. They win that game. Just a coaching masterclass.
Stadium Pulse.
Yeah, it's been bad.
I'll say this too. You mentioned a good point about Marcus Freeman. I don't want to. I guess I should say it's more of a quick history of just recently. He reminds me a little bit of Mike Vrabel. The way Vrabel would manage the clock and manipulate things of like, you know, false starts and the clock keeps on running.
I hadn't
so
thought
forth.
About that.
Like, I don't want to compare him to Mike Vrabel, but those are, resembles some qualities and the type of coach he is, where it is, you know, putting out a punt team and bringing out the offense again and so forth, stuff like that. So I think, yeah, if I were to start with somebody, it would be Marcus Freeman.
Yeah. I think that's a coach you could build around for sure.
And he has made Notre Dame likable.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to watch Notre Dame play. I'd like to see, we'd all like to see a really good game, but just don't know how realistic that is because Ohio State looks like a supernova Death Star, but.
I don't know. I think you're going to get a pretty good national championship game. I still think the outcome is going to be the same of what I've said in weeks past, but I think it'll be closer than what the spread is saying on all these on the internet here on ESPN.com. I mean, it says the line opened up at 9.5, and then it's now dropped to 8.5, but we'll see.
There's like a really fine line of, you know, Michigan had one possibility that they could beat Ohio State, and sure enough, it played out that way. I think if Notre Dame is able to bait Ohio State into running the football like they did against Michigan, then Notre Dame can win. But the thing is, I don't see Ohio State being stupid enough, for lack of a better term, to kind of go after the bait.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. National championship, you throw everything out the window. I wouldn't be surprised if Marcus Freeman throws in a few trick plays while we're at it.
I would not be surprised by that.
I mean, might as well, right? You got to throw the kitchen sink at it.
For two premier programs, feels like a David versus Goliath matchup for sure.
Yeah.
I want to transition it off across the pond to the big leagues.
Hmm.
Divisional round of the NFL playoffs begins today with Chiefs and Texans and Commanders and Lions. I don't really want to spend too much time on those because I feel both of those are going to go heavily in the way of the one seed. But the big game of the week, Ravens and Bills. We have a texter on our text line, Beth, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, as a Bills fan, is this their last best chance? Is our window closing? Such an interesting question.
As long as Allen's there, no.
I tend to agree with that. Josh Allen is my pick to win the MVP this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as they build around him, they're adding pieces to build around him. He's got Amari Cooper throwing the ball. Shakir, is that his name?
Keon Coleman.
Keon Coleman.
Khalil Shakir.
Khalil Shakir. He's got the two tight ends, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid out of Utah.
Yep.
I would argue no. That window is just as wide open. As far as this game, this is a battle of two absolute heavyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Bills and Ravens. Ravens obviously have a dynamic rushing game with not just a quarterback who can run it, but...
Derrick Henry,
who we shed a bit of a tear for, but Lightning McQueen, as he is calling himself now.
Good show.
I love it. I can't cheer for the Ravens, but I appreciate a good Cars reference. That's one of my favorite movies. But I lean heavy on the Bills in this game.
Mm.
I lean heavy on the Bills in the AFC.
Mm.
I lean heavy on the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Connor.
He wants Bills Mafia, baby.
What are we doing, man?
I
will say a Bills-Lions Super Bowl is America's
Super
Bowl.
That's the dream.
Yeah,
that's the dream.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but it's the dream. Realistically, I think we're getting Chiefs
Lions. Eagles.
Oh, really?
You think the Lions are going to, or the Eagles are going to beat the Lions?
It's a possibility.
The Eagles may struggle with the Rams.
Yeah.
Rams are playing some good ball.
The Lions are injury riddled, though.
I mentioned it last week, Connor.
So are the.
Watch out for the Rams.
Yeah.
That was my dark horse.
No, and I doubted you, and I shouldn't have doubted you, because I thought the Vikings were going to go in there and just smoke the Rams. And Sam Darnold.
It was bound
may
to
have
happen.
Lost yourself a little bit of money there, son.
It was bound to happen. Everybody was going to see the real what the real Sam Darnold looks like. It ended up happening. And then the Rams now are in a position to where they could potentially go to the next round, but it's going to be a tough battle for them.
I think with everything going on in the world right now, specifically their state of California and their area of Los Angeles, I think they're playing with a little bit of an edge.
Oh, 100%.
I think they are playing for that city and those people, and rightfully so. Because what is going on in Los Angeles, California right now is
horrible.
Absolutely tragic and horrible. So I kind of lean with the Rams.
Yeah.
I mean, not to win this game, but I kind of – a piece of my heart kind of lies with the Rams saying I want to see them kind of get the big one done.
I don't know. I am kind of on the opposite ends of everything you're saying, not just to for conversation, but
no, it's okay.
Wholeheartedly, I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Texans today.
Yeah, I do too.
As for Bills and Ravens, I think this is the Ravens' year to overcome the Bills.
Really?
I really do.
I like that pick. I like that pick.
There's something about the Ravens that I feel like their window is closing quicker than the Bills. As to the Texter's point about, is the Bills' window closing? I think the Bills' window kind of reopened this past offseason.
I was very low on the Bills to start this year.
I was. I had them missing the playoffs.
I
know that
too.
Sounds crazy. I had the Bills and the Niners missing the playoffs. One of those things happened. But looking at the Bills, yeah, they're a good team, but I don't think they have enough to beat the Ravens. The thing that would really worry me about the Ravens is if their secondary kind of lets them down, which is a very probable situation for them. Their secondary hadn't been the greatest all season long, so that might happen, but I'm taking the Ravens on that. As for Lions Commanders, it'll be a fun game to watch, but we know what's going to happen with that. More than likely, the Lions.
Did you see the video over the weekend, this kid coming out of surgery?
No.
Had anesthetics. This is in Detroit, mind you. Had full anesthetics, completely out of it. All he's doing is chanting, Jared Goff, Jared Goff. Lions Nation is riding high.
That guy.
I mean, the Lions are my team.
He lives rent-free in everybody's head.
This playoff, I am full Lions. I want to see the mighty team that will not yield get one, because for my entire life, they have sucked.
Yeah.
Like, probably your entire life too, Frazier, yeah. Aside from maybe one season with Megatron and Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I remember that one season where they were just every other week it was a touchdown. I had them on fantasy. It was incredible.
I was a little young. I was
2012, yeah, right? 2012.
Yeah. I was 8.
They
so.
Made the playoffs and lost to the Seahawks in the first round, I believe.
Look, I was at the 8. Memory on this guy.
Yeah, this guy.
But as for the NFC Championship, I have the Rams winning. I have them beating the Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the Lions.
I don't hate that one either. I mean, so, the Rams had 9 sacks on Sam Darnold on Monday night. And
so my AFC matchup and NFC matchup for the championships would be the Chiefs and Ravens, and then
Lions
NFC
and Rams.
Lions and Rams.
Okay.
I like it.
Going back to the Bills, this is one of those games where I think you really see best on best. I think the Bills have the better offense, but I think the Ravens had the better defense. But I think there's one factor we're not putting into the Bills, and that they have a franchise back.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook is a dude, and he's going to have to get paid soon, but he's a dude. So I think that's they're going to be scheming for Josh Allen, maybe put a spy on him, maybe Patrick Queen is your spy. But don't be afraid to hand it off to James Cook.
Yeah.
Let Cook cook.
Oh, I see what you did there.
So to answer your question, Beth, no, the window is not closing.
And they have another good running back in Ray Davis out of Kentucky.
Yes.
I will say that.
My guy.
Unfortunately, he got injured last week. I think it was a concussion or something.
Yeah.
If he's available this week, that's another. It's like they got two heads in the backfield.
That's my guy.
Watch out for
former him. Vanderbilt Commodore as well, but we all know where he's from.
Yeah.
What's that? What's his college say next to his name?
Kentucky.
Monday Night Football. Ray Davis, University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
He's a Wildcat, baby. Let's make some picks coming up next. Let's pick some NFL playoffs, some national championship, then we'll throw a wild card in there. You can do whatever you want. That's coming up next. Forest Company 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forest Company, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here. Let's make some picks, shall we? Weekend picks, always our final segment of the day. It will be, as always, the final segment of today. Let's start with the big one, the national championship Monday. It all comes down to this. Notre Dame Fighting Irish taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Nick Frazier, where are we going with this one?
The last couple of weeks I've been saying Ohio State. You know, I've also said every time I pick against Notre Dame, they tend to prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to get back on the right track. Here's the thing. I want to get back on the right track. My heart's telling me Notre Dame, but my gut is telling me Ohio State.
What does heart say?
Heart says Notre Dame. I'm going Ohio State.
I'm talking about the band.
Oh.
Listen to your heart.
Mm. Yeah. I'm not sure. No.
No?
I'm good.
Buckeyes?
I'll stick with the Buckeyes.
No one on this station has been higher on Notre Dame than I have. I told you a month ago Notre Dame was going to the national championship, and everyone laughed at me. Everyone didn't believe me, and they said, you're just a Homer Catholic. I was like, yes, I am. But it's going to happen, and look where we are now. Am I going to pick them to go all the way? No. It's not going to happen. I think Ohio State just matches up way better than Notre Dame does. I think Jeremiah Smith has two touchdowns. I think Will Howard has a day. And I think Ohio State wins by 10. Give me Ohio State 34-24.
Oh, we got scores here. I'm going to go Ohio State 31-27.
Mm. Close.
Yep.
Okay. Parker Kelly, where are we going on this national championship?
Connor, in all fairness, we're still going to laugh at you. That's not going to
stop. Yeah, that's okay.
So.
Why?
I just wanted to know. I mean, a lot of these things that come from this station come from me.
Not wrong.
Notre Dame, the Notre Dame gassing came from me. Chad Brinker as Brock Lesnar has come from me. Titans are going to tighten has come from me. I just want the credit.
Put
that
it on a t-shirt, baby.
Yeah,
put
I just want t-shirt. The credit that I am due. Because I start a lot of these things, and all these hosts on other shows take it and run. No, it's mine.
Starts here
it
on the
starts
weekends.
Starts here.
Okay, so for this game, give me Ohio State. I predicted them at the start of the season to win the whole thing just based off who they have on the roster. It's too talented of a roster not to win. What I'll be looking for to see is if Notre Dame does anything different defensively to stop Ohio State. Play a lot of man coverage, that'll get them in trouble. If Ohio State utilizes their receivers correctly, which they have been, I like Ohio State, and I like Ohio State to cover.
Ohio State to cover. So you're talking about 10 or more points here.
Yes.
You think that's going to happen?
I do.
Wow. I just don't see it. I think we're going to get must
slightly, see, like maybe like 10, 13. Yeah,
I say we're going to get must-see TV. It's going to be a close game because it's the national championship. It's going to be the only football game on Monday night.
Well, I do have a response to I want credit.
Uh-oh.
David James, our friend, said no.
Oh.
Just no.
Mm.
David's also a hater, so.
Yeah, David's a hater. So
interesting.
Let's go over to the NFL. There are four games, mm-hmm. but we don't have time to pick all four.
Okay.
So pick one of them. Give me a pick.
Give me the Rams. That's going to be the outlier pick out of all four of these games this weekend, right? I'm going to pick the Rams. I think the Rams are going to be the ones that are going to prevail over Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown. So that's what
okay.
I'm going to. You?
Nick Frazier takes the Rams. David James, you pissed me off. So I'm going to piss you off now.
Uh-oh.
Give me the Bills to beat the Ravens.
Can I get a score?
Bills. I'll say Bills 31, Ravens 23.
Oh, big margin.
Yeah.
Love that.
Eight-point margin.
Uh-oh.
I think Josh Allen has a marvelous day. I think Ray Davis gets in the end zone if he is healthy.
Dawson Knox,
I could see. I think it's a good day for the Bills Mafia.
Big man touchdown?
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, okay.
Sean McDermott likes to do stuff like that, though, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Parker Kelly, give me an NFL playoff pick.
I'm going to double down with you, not just because I want to make David mad, which I do. I always have fun with that. I'm actually going Bills to beat the Ravens as well. I think it is going to be the matchup to watch is that Ravens offensive line versus the Bills defensive line. The Ravens like to utilize six offensive linemen a lot, and they have six 300-pounders out there. And then, plus, when you bring Patrick Ricard out there, who's another 300-pounder, that's seven. Love to run the football out of those types of packages, but I think the Bills are going to win today because of Josh Allen. I think he also deserves MVP over Lamar Jackson if I had to pick. So bingo. I'm going Bills to move on and face the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
David says he hopes both of us step on a Lego. So
I'm sure he does.
That is a very painful death. I'm sure he does. Let's get wild card. As always, you can go anywhere you want with this, any sport. I'm curious to hear which absolutely zany sport Nick Frazier goes with, but give it to me.
It's not crazy. It's MMA. I mean, now okay. We're back to the pay-per-view events for this year, UFC 311. I'm going to the main event. It's probably an easy gimme. Islam Makhachev is going to beat Renato. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Brazilian. Moicano.
You're asking the wrong guy pal.
he was a late slip into the main event. The previous main event guy ended up hurting his back, and that was like a 1 a.m. phone call. So this guy made weight, and that's your slip-in for the main event for 311.
Okay. Frazier doing MMA of two guys I've never heard of. But
hey, Makhachev is unbelievable. He's 26-1-0. I'd highly recommend watching his highlights.
Okay.
He's incredible. I mean, same with Renato, too. I remember watching him in previous fights as well, but
Okay. I'm wearing the blue today. I have to pick the blue. Kentucky's going to take down Alabama today. I think it's very, very close. I think it's very high scoring. Give me Kentucky 97-94.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah. High scoring. Okay.
Oh, it's going to be high scoring.
It's going to be high scoring.
I'm going to go back to what we talked about with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Frazier, close your ears.
I don't like where this is going. I knew. I saw the pause.
Give me the Rebs, baby. Mm-hmm. Give me the Rebs.
I would counter you on that. I think Mississippi State gets it done today.
And that I leave you with, you're wrong.
You are wrong. Well, that's all the time we have today on Four's Company. Make sure you tune in next week. Jake Lyman will be back, hopefully back from his Appalachian Trail hike or whatever he's doing. But, yeah, fun show today, Frazier.
It was a blast.
Fun show.
We covered everything.
Good show. Good participation from our listeners today as well. But
remember, rugby's back at the beginning of March, so it's on the way, everybody.
Rugby is back at the beginning of March. Stay tuned, though, because we have Vanderbilt basketball later today, taking on the Vols. I believe that is at 2:30 here on 102.5 The Game. And then following, we will have the Predators and the Minnesota Wild live here from Bridgestone Arena, with Max Hurst taking pregame, Pete Weber, Jay Moore, of course, on the call. But as for us, for Nick Frazier, for Parker Kelly behind the glass, I'm Connor Newt. This has been Four's Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
See ya.